Hi, and welcome to The Savvy Psychologist. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, your host. I'll help you meet life's challenges with evidence-based research, a sympathetic ear, and zero judgment. This week, we take a little detour from our three-part series on toxic habits to conquer one of them. Last week, we covered avoidance, the elaborate workarounds we undertake to steer clear of our fears. Whatever we avoid, the emotional gymnastics are exhausting, and in the long run, don't even work. So what to do? Today, we'll cover four tips to face fear head on. Fear buster number one, keep the movie playing. Each of us has an imaginary, heart-stopping moment we dread. If you're camera shy, for example, you might worry about making a fool of yourself on video, and then finding it on the web, with hundreds of comments confirming your ridiculousness. Or, if you fear conflict, you may picture yourself lamely trying to assert yourself and then bursting into tears. Whatever you fear, don't hit pause on your imagined horror story at the worst possible moment. Instead, keep the movie in your head rolling until you're safe. Maybe your mortifying web video fades into internet oblivion, or even better, you star in others that overshadow it. Maybe your tearful argument starts a real conversation. Bottom line, whenever you picture your fear, push past the worst-case scenario to a safe conclusion. You'll feel better prepared to handle the worst, which, by the way, will likely never happen. Fear buster number two, bring it on. Eventually, we get tired of being scared. When you're sick of holding yourself back, do a 180 with your willingness. Be willing to stand behind that podium, get on the plane, ask for a raise, or whatever it is you fear. Your willingness is mutually exclusive from your fear. You can be scared witless and still be willing to say to your fear, hit me with your best shot. You'll be ready and, well, willing. Fear buster number three, get it on paper and then argue back. If you keep a journal, this tip is for you. So first, write down what you're afraid of. Well, okay, maybe first jab hundreds of pockmarks in your diary with a pencil lead, and then write down what you're afraid of. I've wasted my life, no one loves me, everyone thinks I'm a big loser, or whatever your brain is screaming at you. Get it out of your head and onto paper. After a few days, go back and look it over. In the light of day, some of your fears might seem downright melodramatic. Or maybe you'll realize there's someone else's twisted opinion of you, like an abusive partner, cold-as-ice parent, or middle school mean girl. It's their thought, but maybe you've internalized it over the years. Next, write a rebuttal to your fear. And important, the first time you try this, you won't be able to think of anything, but keep trying. Write down what your biggest fan would say. Let your inner defense attorney build an argument. Jot down all evidence that undermines your fear, even if you think it shouldn't count. Then, rinse and repeat. Create a stockpile of counterthoughts you can turn to the next time your fear button gets pushed. However, if you can't bear to face your I suck fears, or you can't think of any evidence to the contrary, take your pockmarked notebook to a therapist you like and trust. He or she will help you shine a bright light on those fears, and I guarantee you'll discover they're not as strong as you think. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Fear buster number four, face your fear in snack-sized bites. You don't have to jump in with both feet. Our party-hating friend Brian from last week's episode is not going to burst through the door of his next party with a big grin and jazz hands. On the contrary, facing fears means starting small. So before Brian's next party, he might plan a tiny, snack-sized social goal that doesn't make him cringe. He might plan to ask a specific coworker about her recent vacation, ask the new guy how he's adjusting, or smile and say hi to three people. For your own version, if you just know deep down you're not going to accomplish your snack size goal, you haven't gone small enough. So shrink it to two people, or one. When that knot in your stomach magically releases, you know you've gone small enough. Then, after you've accomplished your teeny goal, pat yourself on the back and go a little bigger. Brian is slowly rewiring the part of his brain that screams at him, "Don't even bother trying, you awkward tool." He'll never dance on the bar, but that's okay. The goal of facing your fear is not to change your personality, it's to help you be more flexible and more comfortable being yourself. With practice and time, you'll rewire your brain's equivalent thought too. Big asterisk. Facing your fears, especially at first, will feel wrong. This is not a comfortable ride, but bit by bit, you'll trade your fear for confidence. And here's the thing. In the moment, you won't realize that change is happening. Instead, you'll look back and realize how far you've come. You'll find yourself doing whatever it is you were afraid of without thinking. And that's when you'll know all those butterflies in your stomach have flown away. If you've learned something from a Savvy Psychologist episode, let me know by subscribing. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or subscribe to the newsletter at quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters. With the newsletter, you'll get exclusive content like the psychology of internet trolls delivered straight to your inbox every other week. So again, to sign up for this and other newsletters from your favorite Quick and Dirty Tips hosts, just head over to quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters to learn more. That's quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters. Thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson. Next week, we'll have the podcast's first ever guest, Dr. Lisa Miller, a clinical psychologist, professor at Columbia University, and spirituality researcher. She is the author of the new book, The Spiritual Child, and I got to sit down with her and learn exactly what spirituality is, why it's important to teach it to our kids, and how to do so. So next week, we'll welcome Dr. Lisa Miller to the podcast. And after that, I promise we'll finally get around to finishing our three-part series, so be sure to tune in when we reveal Toxic Habit number 3. In the meantime, a transcript of the episode and more than a year's worth of Savvy Psychologist archives are always available on quickanddirtytips.com/savvy-psychologist. Of course, the Savvy Psychologist is strictly for informational purposes and doesn't substitute for mental health care from a licensed professional. Thank you again. I'll see you next week for a happier, healthier mind.